Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship His majesty. Worship His majesty. I thank God today for His presence in my life. I thank God today that I'm not serving a dead God or some dead religion. I thank God that He's real in my life today. I thank Him for His reality. I praise Him for His presence. I thank God for healing my son's back last night. I thank God for moving in our lives and blessing us. I thank God that there's better things that's even coming. And there's better things that's coming for those of you that will believe upon Him that's hearing my voice today. I thank God that there is a reality to God that's beyond any philosophy of man or beyond any religion that anybody could cook up or create or beyond any ritual or tradition, that God is God and God is real and He wants to be real in you and He wants to be real in me. I want to welcome you today. This is probably going to be more preaching than teaching. I thank God for His goodness. I thank God for a lot of things. If you'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20, we had this was in response to a Bible trivia question we had the other day, and Kentucky Hunter got it right. There was so much anointing in Elisha's bones that when they cast that man that they had robbed and killed on top of his bones, that the power of God resurrected the man and he was revived and went on his life. There is resurrection power in the presence of God. And the thing is, child of God, God wants you to walk in that resurrection power. The Bible says in verse 20 of 2 Kings chapter 13, and Elisha died, and they buried him. You would think that'd be the end of the story. Elisha had asked for a double portion of Elijah's anointing, and quite literally you can read the miracles, and got up to this, and he had one miracle left to equal exactly double the miracles of Elijah. But the story doesn't end there, friend. It says, and the bands of Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. Then they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. There was so much anointing and fire of God in Elisha's bones. Did you hear me? There was so much fire of God in his bones that when the man's body hit Elisha's bones, he resurrected, he revived, he came to life again. There is something about the presence of God in our lives that makes us different from the world. You see, God doesn't want you being lukewarm or the same temperature spiritually as the rest of the world, but He wants you to be on fire from His presence. You can't have what you've not received. You have to receive that from God. And you receive that from God by faith and believing and seeking His face. But God wants to set you on fire, child of God. He wants to set you spiritually on fire. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of dead religion. I'm sick of rituals. I'm sick of going through the motions. We have some groups that poke fun at this group because they're so ritualistic and they do this and they do that and they do that and they have a time to do this. But folks, those same people that poke fun can stay at home and not go to church, and they know when the offering's being received, and they know when the prayer requests are going, and they know when the special singing's coming, and they know when the prayer's coming after the preaching. And folks, I'm here to tell you, it's time that we get a hold of God and let God get moving in us and catch us on fire so we get beyond the boundaries that tradition and ritual has set for us, and we catch on fire with the fire of God. The Bible says, for our God is a consuming fire. It's time to let Him consume us and to catch us on fire with His anointing and His presence. God wants us to know Him and to know Him and to be zealous with the fire of His presence. I'm here to tell you, God never meant Christianity to be a dead religion. People made it a dead religion because they've become apathetic and they've lost their love for God and they've gotten more into the religion than they have the walk. But God wants this to be a spiritual walk with Him, a journey, an adventure, if you will, in the Spirit. And the fire of God will ignite you and set you on fire and make you different from those that are just religious. Make you different. In fact, religious folks won't like you if you catch on fire. Religious folks is who killed Jesus. Religious folks is who came against the church. Religious folks is sometimes they call themselves the church, but they won't like you if you catch on fire. But don't worry about them. Worry about God. Listen, the world, those that are lost, that are hurting, that are seeking for something, they're looking for a reality of God. And when we catch on fire, we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and love and passion. And that fire will draw them. And that fire will change lives. I remember I live in a small town, and I remember as a child, and where our firehouse caught on fire downtown. This is terrible, but it burned half the town down. And they barely got the fire engines out and started working on the fire before the building collapsed around them. Kind of odd that a fire start in a firehouse, isn't it? But the thing is, you would not believe the people in this community that were just standing around watching the town burn. I mean, they came from everywhere. Cars lined up just to watch the town burn. And I know that's terrible, and I know, but there is something about the fascination of seeing a fire that draws people to watch. And there's something spiritually about the fire of God that will draw people that are cold, that are lukewarm, that are in the world and tired of the darkness, and they're looking for a light, they're looking for a fire, they're looking for reality, child of God. And when we catch on fire, we can bring that reality of God and the love of Jesus to a dying and lost world. Now, Elisha, like his predecessor, knew God. He knew the Lord. And he just didn't know. He knew Him in His power. Knowing God, I mean really knowing God, we can say, well, praise God, I know Him. And be just as dead as could be. And your knowledge can be head knowledge, but you don't really know Him. You know? You might think you know somebody, but until you really know them, until you get close to them, you really don't know them. But when we really know the Lord and we've been in His presence, we can't help but catch on fire ourselves. You see, the church is suffering from a spirit of apathy. And the reason this is their love has grown cold because they have had the love of God substituted for other loves. They've ended up loving the world more than God, and they've grown spiritually cold, and they become lukewarm or room temperature or the temperature of the world. And literally, according to Revelation chapter 3, God said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Literally, you become unacceptable to God when you become lukewarm. God wants you to be on fire. If you get too close to a fire, you'll catch on fire. That's why a lot of religious folks don't like a real move of God. Because first of all, you can't control it. God's in control. Some people lack control. But you've got to be willing to let God have control and just let Him catch you on fire. My Lord, if you've ever been on fire by the presence of God, it'll transform you. It'll change you. It'll change the way you look at things. It'll give you hope in a hopeless land. It'll give you power to live the abundant life. God wants to ignite your life on fire and consume out the things that are destroying you, the things that are harming you, the things that are hindering you. That's what a fire does. For our God is a consuming fire. He wants to consume you. And that fire also brings empowerment. Now, Elisha had so much of God's anointing or fire, that it raised this man from the dead. But I'm here to tell you, child of God, you and I have a better covenant than Elisha or Elijah, either one, ever had. Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In other words, he said, John is the greatest prophet. He's the greatest one that's ever been born. He's greater than Elisha. But the least in the kingdom of heaven, when Jesus is on the cross and he said, it is finished, this was birthing forth the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the new covenant. And the least in that kingdom, the least, and Jesus is our king, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist or Elisha or Elijah or Samuel the prophet. Child of God, God wants a fire in your bones. He wants fire in you. He wants you to be set on fire. There's too many people that say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but they're dead in their walk. You're throwing stones. No, I'm talking about realities. Even Jesus said before the coming, before that midnight cry was given for the marriage supper, before the church, it was a parable of the kingdom, before they were called up and the door was shut, he said five were foolish and five were wise. The five wise had oil in their vessels that gave light, that let them light a fire. They had the anointing, the oil, the Holy Spirit, enough of the anointing in them to light that fire, that they had a fire that they could go into the... But half of them, they weren't in sin. He said they were all virgins, 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. They were even doing the same thing, but 5 had the anointing and 5 didn't. 5 had a fire. And 5 didn't have any oil for their fire. They didn't have any fuel. They didn't have enough of God moving in them to have fuel for their fire. Jesus said before he ascended in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God wants to put fire in your bones. He wants some power flowing from your innermost being. He wants to bring that passion and that power, that anointing, below the surface, but deep from inside you. He said, you shall receive power, dunamis in Greek. We get dynamite, dynamo, dynamic from it. Literally, he wants to bring that dynamic of the presence of God in you. So why? So you can be witnesses. Friend, if you want the power of witness, let him fill you with his power. Let him fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit flow. His presence brings power to reveal Jesus in our lives. You see, God wants some fire in your bones. There was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wanted to quit. He wanted to give up. He was made fun of. He was hated for prophesying the truth. Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. Sometimes people rather hear a lie than hear the truth. They'd rather somebody prophesy something good to them than tell them the truth. And they were false prophets, and they ate them up. But Jeremiah was one prophet telling the truth, and they hated him. And in Jeremiah 20, verse 8, Jeremiah said, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil before the word, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Daily he was persecuted for bringing the word of the Lord. Then I said, and here his humanity is showing, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He said, I'm just going to quit preaching. I'm just going to quit prophesying. Nobody wants to hear it anyway. See, the Bible says to be instant in season and out of season. We think, well, that's when we feel like it. No, that's talking about when people are willing to hear it, and when they don't want to hear it, doesn't matter. Preach. He said, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, I wanted to quit, and I said, God, no more. But it was like his word was like a fire shut up in my bones. And that fire was burning, and I couldn't hold back. I had to bring it forth again. That's what we need, children of God. We need a burning fire shut up in our bones that will burn in us and literally change people's lives as they receive the word and the power of God. We need to be instruments of God. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, but we are the instruments. We are the members, and God wants to use us to bring the gospel with power and love. Paul said, I thank God that I didn't come with you word only, but with signs and wonders following. The fire will not only bring the word with love and passion, but signs and wonders following. Somebody said, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not called. I'm not this. I'm not that. Folks, we're all, Jesus called us all to go and spread the gospel, to go into all the world. And Jesus said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist or in these, and John was greater than all these other Old Testament prophets. Folks, we've all been given a commission to go in power. God wants you to be anointed, not just the pastor, not just the evangelist, not just the teacher. God wants all of us to have an anointing and to bring forth the word and be a witness into this world. Now, in fact, Jesus was speaking to 500 people when he ascended. Only 120 of them did what he said and went and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. Only 120 out of 500, about one-fourth, that's about right. That's about what you usually get. I've noticed that myself. You get about, even Jesus only got one-fourth to do what he said and receive the promise. Are you willing to be one of those one-fourth that will get the fire? Are you willing to get, are you want to be like the three-quarters of those that walk in deadness or and just empty religion? Are you one of the one-fourth that hears it and gets on fire and gets a desire and will literally seek the face of God until he ignites you? It'll burn in your bones. Now, let me go on the other side of this. Religious tradition will make you dry bones, devoid of life. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 23:27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like... Notice there's an exclamation point there. And this is red. You have a red letter edition, you'll notice Jesus is the one saying it's in red letters. He said, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Outside you seem white and pure and all that, but inside you're full of death. You're dead. You're dead. You need fire, but you're dead. You need some healing. You need some life. You need God moving in you. God doesn't want us to be dead bones, but he wants in our bones to be some fire, some life, some resurrection power. Without the fire, we're just warm embers. We're lukewarm. We're like that lukewarm food you get off the shelf when you go to the fast food place. I used to hate it. I'd go in and you know, in a hurry and stop someplace and I got to start making special orders so they'd make my cheeseburger right. So it'd actually be hot. Because if you just order a normal one, they take one off the shelf and you get it and it's soggy. Don't you hate those soggy, lukewarm hamburgers? I mean, it's like you're not good enough to make something fresh. Here's something that we had laying around. And you try to eat it, and you wish you'd gone and gotten tacos or pizza or something instead of those lukewarm, soggy hamburgers. Well, that's exactly the way we seem to God when we get lukewarm. Revelation 3:15, Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I could preach on that for a while, but I'm not going to. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. when our worship is rehearsed and programmed, and we might even have good talent doing the worship, and they do it perfectly, and they do this, and we're entertained. God forgive us, that's not what it's about. I don't want to be entertained, I want to worship. I don't want somebody being a cheerleader or an entertainer in front of me. I want somebody that will lead me in worship. I want to praise God, because when I praise Him, His presence, God inhabits the praises of His people. And when I start praising Him, I enter into His presence and I get rekindled again. I want the spiritual worship that Jesus said that God is seeking. God is seeking in John chapter 4. Spiritual true worshipers that will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He's seeking those that will worship Him that way. If you want God to show up in your life, start worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Now, Elisha had a double portion, and this is the last portion of this message, and I want to really get into how he got it. He was determined to get the same fire that Elijah had. In fact, he wanted double. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with wanting more? What's wrong with wanting more? We suffer many times by, well, the anti-faith. Too many of us have anti-faith. We have faith God's not going to do it. We have faith and we make excuses why God is not going to do it. Shame on us. God forgive us. We need to have faith for what the Word says. The promises of God are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. That's the Word. We need to believe the promise of God. Elisha had a double portion. How to get it? Because he was determined to get it, and he latched on, and he had bulldog faith, and he didn't let go till he got it. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9, and it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Now, from this point on, and I'm just going to talk quickly about it, from this point on, Elisha got a hold of Elijah, and everywhere Elijah went, and he took him everywhere. He just started, let's take off, boy. And he, aren't you going to stay here? No, I'm going on. I'm not going to miss you when you go, because I want that double portion. How hungry are you for God? Are you hungry enough to seek the face of God? Are you hungry enough to fast and pray and to believe on Him and to seek Him? In 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah starts this journey, and it ends with his translation up into heaven. And Elisha knows that he's got to see him when he goes. So he grabs onto him. Everywhere you go, Elijah, I'm going too. And here's the journey. He started at Gilgal. Elijah went to Gilgal, so there was Elisha right with him. Gilgal is the place where the children of Israel first crossed over into the promised land. Joshua had them build a memorial to God for their crossing over the flooding Jordan. Remember when the Ark of the Covenant went over and Jordan was flooding its banks, and God said, it's time. Woo! And they put their feet out, and God put His hand down, and He dried up the river, and Jordan backed up before miles and miles and miles, and they crossed over on dry ground. And Joshua built a memorial there in Gilgal for the crossing in Jordan. And literally, that gave praise for their deliverance from sin and the slavery of Egypt and the wilderness that they had through their rebellion. Gilgal is the place where they first circumcised as a nation in the promised land, and it's the first place of consecration to God. You see, you have to start at Gilgal, at the place of repentance. You got to start with repentance, children of God. What did Jesus? Jesus said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He preached repentance. Let me give you a good one to the people of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. For if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. And he's talking to the people of God. He said, then will I hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your land. That's revival. But it starts with us seeking God and repenting. You must get, Lord God, here I am. God, I empty myself of everything that's unlike you. God, I'm sorry. I know this is wrong. God, I confess it. Forgive me, Lord. God, give me power over this. Lord, I empty this out. Refill me with your love that I can overcome this. You've got to start at Gilgal, the place of repentance, the place of new commitment. We are delivered from your bondage, and you commit to take the promise of God and follow God to victory. From Gilgal, you go to Bethel. They went to Bethel. The word name Bethel means literally the house of God. It's the place where God visited Jacob, and he named it Bethel. It is the place of prayer. Past repentance, you've got to start praying and seeking His face and having time with God. This is the place where you start walking with God and knowing His presence in your life. Folks, we're not to the double portion yet, but this is the beginning. Many people, they stop at Gilgal at repentance and they don't go any further. Others, they go a little bit farther and they start knowing God's presence. They start praying and they stop right there. But they never go through to what God has really promised us and possess the promise. It's not enough to have the promise. You've got to possess it by faith. You've got, and faith brings obedience. And you've got to literally grab on to it till you get it by faith. This is a place where he wrestled with the Lord and God blessed him. Bethel is a place of prayer. It's a place where you get in your prayer closet and you get with God both individually on your own and you start praying with a church when you want revival. You start praying on your own with you and yourself and have that time with God and you start praying with your church too when you want revival to come. From Bethel, they went to Jericho. Woo! This is the place where the walls came down. This is a place where God brought deliverance. This is the place where the strongholds were smashed flat by God Almighty. This is the place where we battle the enemy. You start with repentance, then you take time in prayer and dedication with God and start walking with God and knowing His presence, and then He leads you into battle. But the victory is yours because it comes from God. We'll face temptations. We'll face problems. We'll face strongholds and mountains. But literally, it's a greater challenge to let God take down our own strongholds than to come against the things that's in our community. We talk about spiritual warfare. People say, well, I won't take my city. And they've got strongholds themselves. Folks, we've got to get to Jericho in our own lives where we let God take down those strongholds in us. What strongholds? Strongholds of temptation, strongholds of hate, of lust, of bitterness, of pain, of disappointment, of hurt, all those things that can keep us from walking in faith and walking in the presence of God. All right. From Jericho, they went to the Jordan River, the place of flooding, the time of despair. Now, this is something you probably don't want to hear, but before the real outpouring comes, before the real revival comes, before God starts really using you radically and setting you on fire with a double portion, comes the wilderness, comes the place of death. You say, I thought I was doing pretty good. I've got strongholds down now. I've been praying and seeking God, and the presence of God is in my life. And now you're saying I go to the place of death? Yes. Before any great move of God in your life, there comes the wilderness where God kills the things in you that are hindering Him from using you totally. This is the hardest place for me. This is the place before the full work comes. Hey, God might be using you up to this point, but if you are willing to go with Him through it, Some people refuse to let the thing die in them that God's trying to kill. And they stay there in the place of death on and on, year after year. And if they just surrender to God, God would resurrect them and lift them up and take them through to the other side. You see, this is the time you feel like, this is the time the promise seems to die. This is the time when the ministry you know God set you to and the thing God promised, where it seems to die right in front of you. But you just have to know that the Lord God of Elijah is still there and He's still moving and He's parted the water, and though you've gone under, you're coming back up. It's like Joseph in Egypt. First as a slave and then in the prison. And God had promised him a place of authority and power. And here he believed him. And he ended up in prison in Egypt as a slave. But he didn't know it, but that prison was the next doorway to the second in the kingdom of Egypt, where God would use him not only to bless others, but bless his own family. You see, this is the time a lot of people give up. Don't give up, child of God. Don't give. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Sometimes people aren't. Sometimes organizations definitely aren't. Sometimes other things aren't. But God is faithful. If He led you there, He'll lead you out. Only the old man dies. You're raised up new and you come up out of the flood. On the other side of Jordan, when you come up, and by the way, you've got to go down before you come up. We might want to take the shortcut, but there is no shortcut. You've got to go down before you can come up. But when you come up, when he came up on the other side of Jordan, as he was talking to Elijah, Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, and the mantle of Elijah came off, and it came down to Elisha, and Elisha took that mantle, and he went back to the Jordan River, and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he smote that mantle, and the same power of God that stopped the water of Jordan for Elijah stopped it for Elisha. And God had given Elisha his double portion. Do you have any fire in your bones today? Are you sold out to Jesus? Is that resurrection power flowing through your life? Do you have that fire? You can have it. You can have it. God wants you to have more than just a little bit glider full, but God wants you to catch on fire, so much fire that you start a fire where you're at. Child of God, let me tell you, He loves you. And He wants to set you on fire. And if you're willing to seek Him and go the journey. But let me tell you something. It's a journey of faith. But if you're willing to let your faith become a walk of obedience, He'll take you through to your double portion. Is there fire in your bones today? If there's not, I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ to seek the face of God, where He anoints you fresh and He takes you to that journey that leads to the double portion. This is James Coldiron. May God bless you.